This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Leadership changes loom in Europe. What does that mean for the future of the debt crisis?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll ask the owner of one of the world's largest independent bookstores about the future of books. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up at the open this morning. The Dow up 41 points, about 0.3% at 12,024. The NASDAQ basically flat right now. The S&P 500 up about 0.2%. And the markets are focused on the European debt crisis this morning. The main political parties in Greece have agreed to form a new government that will not be led by the current Prime Minister, George Papandreou, but will push through the controversial bailout package. Meanwhile, in Italy, leader Silvio Berlusconi is denying rumors that he's about to resign so a new government can come in and pass economic reforms in Italy. For more on all of this, we're going to bring in Julia Coronado, chief economist with BNP Paribas. She is with us every Monday, and this morning she's live here in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Julia, I want to start with the words of a Greek opposition politician who spoke to Marketplace this morning. Simos Kedikoglou is a member of parliament with the New Democracy Party, and here's what he said.
This agreement that we arrived yesterday, it could have been done on June, but Mr. Papandreou wanted to hold on to his chair. So at least now he has decided to leave his precious chair.
He's decided to leave his precious chair. Julia, do you think that leaders in Europe have held up the debt crisis by looking out for their own political interests?
Well, look, these politicians are facing really hard choices and having to ask their population to accept really painful cutbacks. So, yes, they're definitely dragging their feet as much as they can.
What do economists like you do when you look at these changes in Europe and you don't know what the next government is going to do for the economic parts of the debt crisis?
Well, there's so much uncertainty and things have been changing so quickly. I mean, one possibility being talked about in Italy now is taking politics out of it a bit, moving to a technocrat government where basically professional bureaucrats work out a solution.
But don't you then sort of subvert the will of the people?
Yeah, well, yes, of course, the people should have a say in these choices. But often, as we also see in the U.S., when hard choices have to be made, sometimes what we get is political turnover and political stalemates and a lack of progress.
Do you think that as we approach elections here in the U.S. next year, that there's the possibility of a big change either of the presidency or perhaps of the House of Representatives flipping back to the Democrats?
Or perhaps both. I mean, all incumbents are vulnerable when the economy is not doing well. And it's hard to see what's going to, you know, the silver bullet that's going to solve our problems between now and then.
Julia, I want to ask you one more thing. We talk to you every week. Is there any issue outside of Europe and the banks and stuff like that that we haven't talked about that you think is really important for people to think about?
You know, one thing I worry about a lot as an economist is the high rate of unemployment and underemployment amongst young people. And it's something I wish got more policy focus. Right now, you know, the deal really has changed for young people, and we risk losing the potential of a generation if we don't address that.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with BNP Paribas, thanks so much for coming in.
A pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
This morning, Barnes & Noble is expected to launch a new version of its Nook e-reader to compete with the Kindle Fire and, of course, the iPad. It's Barnes & Noble's latest attempt to avoid the fate of its ex-rival, Borders. For an independent take on this, we're joined now by Nancy Bass Wyden. She owns the Strand Bookstore here in New York, which is one of the world's largest used bookstores. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I want to start by asking you to be a representative of the book industry and tell me a question that I've been wondering about for a while. Why has Barnes & Noble survived and Borders gone out of business?
I think a lot of it has to do with management. We've hired a lot of employees, and so I've gotten a lot of inside information on that. And Barnes & Noble's came in very aggressively with the e-books and developing the Nook and devoting space to the Nook.
Well, I mean, you haven't gone the e-reader route, right?
We have not. There's really not opportunity for independent bookstores to aggressively go the e-reader Nook. I think Amazon and Barnes & Noble just really have all the market. Anything that's left for us through Google Books seems to be crumbs. But that's really not our gig.
Well, how's business for you?
Business for us is doing great. In-store is up 8%. You know, I really believe that people don't want to be tethered to their devices at home, and they'll always seek a place or shopping experience with a community of book lovers.
Quick lightning round. Do you have a Kindle, an iPad, or a Nook?
I have an iPad.
Okay. And do you read books on it, or is it too hard with the backlighting?
I don't like it.
Favorite book of the year?
I love Mark Twain's autobiography.
What would your advice be to Barnes & Noble to stay afloat? No?
I don't know. I've never been asked that question. I mean, I think that they have all these stores. They have the Nook. I would say that they should go after, you know, recommendations. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're at the Strand. You walk in the store and we have such educated book lovers. Almost everybody's majored in literature at the Strand. I want Barnes & Noble to stay afloat because I want more people to read books, whether they're buying them from the Strand or from anywhere. That would make me happy.
Nancy Bass Wyden is owner of the Strand Bookstore in New York. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, you've heard of car companies teaming up with brands like Eddie Bauer or Gucci. Well, today comes the launch of an unusual pairing. Jeep is launching the limited edition Wrangler Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 to coincide with the launch of the new video game of the same name. Now, the new Jeep will have Call of Duty logos on the seats, the dashboard, the front fenders. It's being marketed as the toughest vehicle in the world, any world, in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
In France, bread is a way of life, and so are the bakeries that make it fresh every day.
They help to really construct the landscape of French ontology, of French being, of French identity.
But bakeries ain't 24/7, you know. I'm Kai Rizdal. Paris gets a baguette vending machine, believe it or not. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.